హరే కృష్ణ. టుడే వీఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 3 చాప్టర్ 7 టైటిల్ ఫర్దర్ ఇన్క్వైరీస్ బై విదుర టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 2. విదుర ఉవాచ బ్రహ్మన్ కథన్ భగవత చిన్మాత్రస్య వికారిణః లీలయాచాభియుజ్యేరన్ నిర్గుణస్య గుణాః క్రియాః. గో టు అ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. విదుర ఉవాచ. విదుర సెడ్, బ్రహ్మన్, ఓ బ్రాహ్మణ, కథం, హౌ, భగవతః, ఆఫ్ ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్, చిత్ మాత్రస్య, ఆఫ్ ద కంప్లీట్ స్పిరిచువల్ హోల్, అవికారిణః, ఆఫ్ ద అన్చేంజబుల్, లీలయా, బై హిస్ పాస్ట్ టైమ్, చ, ఈత, అపి, ఈవెన్ దో ఇట్ ఈస్ సో, యుజేరన్, టేక్ ప్లేస్, నిర్గుణస్య, హూ ఇస్ వితౌట్ ద మోడ్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్, గుణాః, మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్, క్రియాః, యాక్టివిటీస్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. శ్రీ విదుర సెడ్, ఓ గ్రేట్ బ్రాహ్మణ, సిన్స్ ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్హెడ్ ఈస్ ద కంప్లీట్ స్పిరిచువల్ హోల్ అండ్ ఇస్ అన్చేంజబుల్, హౌ ఇస్ హీ కనెక్టెడ్ విత్ ద మెటీరియల్ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్ అండ్ దర్ యాక్టివిటీస్? ఇఫ్ దిస్ ఈస్ హిస్ పాస్ట్ టైమ్, హౌ డూ ద యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆఫ్ ద అన్చేంజబుల్ టేక్ ప్లేస్ అండ్ ఎగ్జిబిట్ క్వాలిటీస్ వితౌట్ ద మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్? పర్పోర్ట్ బై ఏసి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి మహారాజ్, శిల ప్రభుపాద్. జై. యాజ్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్, ఇట్స్ ఎ లాంగ్ పర్పోర్ట్ సో వీ నీడ్ టు లిసన్ వెరీ కేర్ఫుల్లీ అండ్ ఇట్స్ వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ టు. యాజ్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ చాప్టర్, ద డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ ద సూపర్ సోల్ అండ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ అండ్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ ఈస్ ద యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ ఇన్ క్రియేటింగ్ ద కాస్మిక్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్ ఆర్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ బై ద లార్డ్ త్రూ ద ఏజెన్సీ ఆఫ్ హిస్ మల్టిఫేరియస్ ఎనర్జీస్. బట్ దిస్ manifestation is bewildering to the living entities. The Lord is therefore the master of the energies, whereas the living entities are subjected by them. By asking various questions about transcendental activities, Vidura is clearing the misconception that when the Lord either descends on the earth in his incarnation or appears himself with all his potencies, he too is subjected to the influence of Maya, just like an ordinary living entity. This is generally the calculation of less intelligent philosophers who consider the position of the Lord and that of the living entities to be on the same level. Vidura is hearing the great sage Maitreya refute these arguments. The Lord is described in this verse as chinmatra, or completely spiritual. The personality of Godhead has unlimited potencies to create and manifest many wonderful things, both temporary and permanent. Because this material world is the creation of his external energy, it thus appears to be temporary. It is manifested at certain intervals, maintained for some time and again dissolved and conserved in his own energy, as described in Bhagavad Gita 8:19, Bhutva Bhuta Pralayate. But the creation of his internal potency, the spiritual world, is not a temporary manifestation like the material world, but is eternal and full of transcendental knowledge, opulence, energy, strength, beauties and glories. Such manifestations of the Lord's potencies are eternal and are therefore called nirguna, or free from all tinges of the modes of material nature, even up to the mode of material goodness. The spiritual world is transcendental even to the material goodness, and thus is unchangeable. Since the Supreme Lord of such eternal and unchangeable qualities is never subjected by anything like material influence, how can his activities and form be conceived to be under the influence of illusory Maya, as is the case with the living entities. A juggler or magician displays many wonders with his acts and arts. He can become a cow by his magical tactics, and yet he is not that cow. But at the same time, the cow displayed by the magician is not different from him. Similarly, the material potency is not different from the Lord because it is an emanation from him. But at the same time, that manifestation of potency is not the Supreme Lord. The Lord's transcendental manifestation of potency is not Supreme Lord, sorry. The Lord's transcendental knowledge and potency always remain the same. They do not change, even when displayed in the material world. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord descends on the earth by his own internal potency, and therefore there is no question of his becoming materially contaminated, changed, or otherwise affected by the modes of material nature. The Lord is Saguna by his own internal potency, but at the same time he is Nirguna, since he is not in touch with the material energy. The restrictions of the prison house are applicable to a prisoner who are condemned by the king's law, but the king is never affected by such implications, although he may visit the prison house out of his goodwill. In the Vishnu Puran, the six opulences of the Lord are stated to be non-different from him: the opulence of transcendental knowledge, strength, opulence, potency, beauty, and renunciation are all identical with the personality of Godhead. When he personally displays such opulences in the material world, they have no connection with the modes of material nature. The very word chin matratva is the guarantee that the Lord's activities are always transcendental, even when displayed in the material world. His activities are as good as the personality of Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Otherwise, liberated devotees like Shukadev Goswami would not have been attracted by them. Vidura inquired how the Lord's activities can be in the modes of material nature, as is sometimes miscalculated by the persons with a poor fund of knowledge. The inability of the material qualities is due to the difference between the material body and the spirit soul. The conditioned soul's activities are displayed through the medium of the modes of material nature and are therefore perverted in appearance. However, the Lord's body and the Lord himself are one and the same, and when the Lord's activities are displayed, they are certainly known different from the Lord in all respects. The conclusion is that persons who consider the Lord's activities material are certainly mistaken. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamahyam Dadati Svapatandikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyacha Kruba Sindhubhyevacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahadhar Yai Ma Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodasatmaka Solangri Shishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime Hare Krishna. Vidura is continuing to inquire from Maitreya. And here we can see such a wonderful philosophical question posed by Vidura for the benefit of all of us, for all the conditioned beings. So here, the verse in itself shows an apparent contradiction. Can we see an apparent contradiction? Nirgunasya gunaha kriyaha. Nirgunasya gunaha. The qualities of someone who doesn't have any qualities. So in fact, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures present many kinds of contradictions for a purpose. If you try to understand the philosophical search into the absolute, especially by the Jnanis, it is based on rejecting that which is not. So we know about Maya, that Maya means that which is not. So when we take something which is temporary to be eternal, that consciousness is influenced by Maya, as we know. Similarly, when the Jnanis look at the material world, they see that it is the source of misery. They see that it is not permanent. So they want to see something which is opposite to that in something which is spiritual. So it is the logic of negation. So they use the technique called neti. Neti means na iti. So they take material objects, they say, neti, this is not. The supreme cannot be the mind. It is fluctuating. It cannot be the body. It cannot be the material nature in itself. It cannot be the combination. So they reject according to the quality of material, according to the material qualities, they reject. And they try to establish that which is permanent, that which is there always. So they may call it Brahman or different names, whatever it is. But it is based on logic. It is based on the logic of negation. Now, when we take Srimad Bhagavatam also uses different logic. Say, for example, here we can see a contradiction. So why a contradictory statement is presented not just in Bhagavatam, in different scriptures? Because if we want to present something which is beyond just mundane logic, we need to negate the mundane logic. So here, this mundane logic is negated to establish that there is something superior. So that's why nirgunasya gunaha kriyaha. Nirguna means which doesn't have any qualities and it has good qualities. So here we can see this purport that it is definitely bewildering for the conditioned beings that how the Supreme Lord, who is not meant to be changing, is apparently changing. Because we can see if the Lord is manifesting, a person is manifesting. Let's take the aspect of the Lord manifesting the material creation, and the material creation is subjected to constant change. It is an undefiable fact. It is everyone accepts, even the Jnanis, Yogis, everyone accepts the material world, the Prakriti is subjected to change. And if the Supreme Absolute Truth even contains the Prakriti, it's part of Him, then how, when this material energy is constantly changing, the Lord is not changing? So this is the primary question that is posed by Vidura. Now, when you try to understand this, we have to be very grateful to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers coming to Srila Prabhupada. Why I make this statement? Because if you read this purport, it is very clear how the Lord has multifarious energies, and the multifarious energies are transforming, and the Lord Himself is not subjected to any kind of transformation. It is very simple, it is very straightforward. Srila Prabhupada gives the wonderful example of a juggler or a magician. Magician can come in different forms, just like a cow. So in one sense, the magician is known different from the cow, but at the same time, magician is not a cow. So he can manifest himself as a cow, and at the same time, he can get back to his original form. So in one sense, he is subjected to the transformation, but at the same time, he is not subjected to any kind of transformation. Now, it can look like it is very simple. In fact, this philosophy, whatever we see, this philosophy was established by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you read teachings of Lord Chaitanya, if you read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can see how Mahaprabhu has brought this philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva to this world. And by how, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we are understanding, at least it's Achintya, so we cannot say we are understanding, but at least we are getting a glimpse of that philosophy with simple examples, with simple logic. So let's look into Chaitanya Charitamrita, what happened when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with Prakashananda Saraswati in Banaras. In their conversation, Prakashananda Saraswati presented the Mayavadi arguments, and Mahaprabhu actually refuted all those arguments. Mahaprabhu told that the arguments by Mayavadis is certainly based on the teachings of Lord Shankaracharya. And Shankaracharya wrote the commentary to Vedanta Sutra assuming that Vyasadeva has made some mistakes. So Vyasadeva has made some mistakes by presenting Vedanta Sutra and the correlated literatures. So to correct Vyasadeva, Shankaracharya wrote Sharirika Bhashya. See, so Mahaprabhu said, you know, how is it possible? So what is that mistake, apparent mistake, pointed out by Shankaracharya? Especially that has to do with this particular purport and this particular question. So, Shankaracharya and the scholars of that time presented two kind of arguments. One is called the Parinamavad and one is called Vivartavad. Parinamavad means the theory of transformation. Parinama means transformation. So as it is given here, Parinama, transformation. So the Lord, as we know, Lord we can call Parabrahman. And we know Sarvam Khalludam Brahman. Everything is composed of everything. Brahman means it includes everything. It's all pervading. Brihat, Brahman, the word Brihat is actually the source of Brahman. Brihat means that which is all pervading. Brihat, big, huge. So yes, Brahman is all pervading. So everything is Brahman, Sarvam Khaludam Brahman. So how is it possible to have Parinamavad? Or how is it possible to have transformation, something which is absolute by nature? It's a very logical question. So that's where the Shankaracharya posed this question. How is it possible Brahman transform? Instead, Brahman cannot transform. There is possibility of Vivarta. Vivarta means that which is influenced by Maya. Say, for example, say everyone is Brahman. So this is the basic Mayavad arguments. Sarvam Khaludam Brahman, they quote the Vedanta, the Upanishads, and everything is Brahman. We also accept that fact. So if everything is Brahman, then how is it possible that some living entities are thinking, we are thinking, you know, we are suffering, we are conditioned, we want to fly, we can't fly, we can't even, you know, sit in the class, you know, with proper consciousness, without sleep, you know, we fall asleep while chanting japa. So we are subjected to so many kinds of different conditionings. So at the same time, everything is Brahman. Can we see the difficulty in understanding these two things? How can we put together these two arguments? On one side, everything is Brahman. And on the other side, you can see some Brahman is, you know, having some troubles. And matter in itself is trouble because, you know, it is temporary, it is subject to transformation, anyone can perceive. So how to put these things together with Vivartavad, so without Parinama. So they had to reject Parinama. So Parinama rejected. There is no possibility of transformation for the absolute. Fine. Now how is it possible to include this limitations? So that's where this Mayavad is coming. Maya means, okay, now you are thinking that you are limited, that you are conditioned. That is Maya. You think that there is matter which is subjected to transformation. That is Maya. That is non-existent. As Shankaracharya says. Shlokarthen is a very interesting verse. Shlokarthena vivakshyami yaduktam gandhakodipi. Brahma satyam jagan mithya jivo brahmaiva napara. So Shankaracharya says a very interesting verse because the first line Shankaracharya makes a very bold statement. Shlokarthena vivakshyami. I will explain the absolute truth which has been described by millions of books, that is referring to the Vedic literature, because Vedic literature is very vast. Practically our one lifetime is completely insufficient even just to go through what to speak about understanding. So he says, Shlokarthena Vivakshami, Yaduktam Granthakotipi. Granthakotipi, millions of granthas. I will explain. How? Half a verse, okay? No, I don't need anything else. Half a verse I am going to explain. Then he said, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. He accepted Brahman is Satyam, it is truth, and Jagan, this is Mithya, it is illusion. Jivo Brahma Iva Napara. And the culmination of that is Jiva and Brahman are one and the same. So he presented tactfully in one sense. He never used Parabrahman, right? We had to understand. He never used Parabrahman. But the so-called followers of this time, they actually equated, they started saying, we are God. There is no such statement. Even Shankaracharya didn't make such a statement that Jiva is Parabrahman. But the followers, they did make such statement. And I don't want to refer the one, Mayavadi, who went to America, he's the first one to propagate that Jiva and God, we are God, such a statement. So far, even that wasn't there. It was more subtle. This became completely gross and perverted. So then onwards, that's why Srila Prabhupada is so heavy. And Prabhupada makes such a distinction between Brahman and Parabrahman. Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada says, there is always a distinguish between the Brahman and Parabrahman, just to show what's the difference. So that's where the Mayavad originates, because there is no possibility of transformation for the Absolute without getting affected. If there is a transformation for the Absolute, there has to be a change, so there cannot be any transformation. And since we can observe transformation in this world, then it has to be Maya. Now, that is the conclusion of their argument. So instead, then Mahaprabhu explained, which is not true. He said, yes, there is transformation for the energy of the Lord. That's where this multifarious energy is coming. Can you see the origin, why this multifarious energy is coming? So multifarious energy is coming because the Lord has energies, and energies are subject to transformation without affecting the energetic. So this is the essence of Vaishnava philosophy. And the question posed by Vidura is actually uncovering the most important aspect of Vaishnava philosophy. And I have to say that currently there are no real Mayavadis. There are only confused people. I'll give you an example. I was in India, and one of my cousins, he caught me. He told, you have to watch this TV show. I said, what is this? He said, yeah, it is morning 5:30. There is a 1 hour Bhagavatam recital and explanation. Bhagavat Katha for 1 hour. Okay. I said, okay, I'll come. So he said, I understood this is a Mayavad. I didn't want to go, but I was chanting my rounds. He again came and, you know, pulled me, you know, come, you know, we are watching, just at least listen sometime. He's our favorite. Okay, fine, all right. Okay, I went and sat there. See how it is. Okay, first he made a few statements. Then after some time, he started, you know, what is Shiva, Vishnu, Brahma, you know, Ganesh? They are all one. Just like, can you see the five fingers? Just like the five fingers, they are all one in the same way. Everyone is one. And he was just, you know, continuing on his Mayavad philosophy. And everything is one. It's just going on. This is based on Bhagavatam. Even Shankaracharya never commented on Bhagavatam, but he is commenting on Bhagavatam in this nonsensical way. And then he said, after that he said, so we had to depend on the mercy of the Lord, Kripa. Can you understand the contradiction? Okay, everything is one. Okay. In that respect, we cannot depend on mercy of the Lord, because Kripa is something, you know, separate. That is one aspect. Second, according to Mayavad, there is no energy for the Lord. It's a fundamental mistake. There is no Shakti at all. There is no Kripa Shakti. It's not there, according to their theory. But they contradict themselves, because they don't know, actually they don't know their own philosophy. So the true Mayavadis, they first must reject the energies of the Lord. The Brahman doesn't have any potencies. They cannot say again, now give me Kripa. It's not there. That's why it is mentioned that even a Brahmavadi who wants to make progress, it is so difficult, because he doesn't have access to the Kripa of the Lord. It is dependent on one's own strength. Whereas for a devotee, we endeavor, but we are dependent on Krishna and his mercy. So if you want mercy, yathamam prabhadyante tam sateva bhajamiham. If you want mercy, Krishna will give mercy. If they don't want mercy, Krishna will not give mercy. That's all. So the process is very difficult. Krishna says, klesho adhikatarastesham avyakta asakta chedasam avyaktam hi gadadukham dehavadbhat avapyate. very klesho, it is so difficult, klesho adhigatara, it is most difficult, tesham, for those avyakta asakta chetasam, those who are avyakta asakta, they are attached to avyakta, the imperishable Brahman. And avyaktam hi gatir dukham, dukham, you use the word dukham, it's very difficult, dukham means actually suffering. So this is the situation of the Brahmavadis. Then what to speak about Mayavadis? Mayavadis are rejecting the form of the Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in the commentary to Bhagavad Gita that such Mayavadis, they will go to hellish planets. That is the mercy of the Lord. So that they don't condemn the Lord in this way. People think they are, you know, taking their followers and going to the spiritual world or at least to heaven. They don't mind heaven either. But that's not the reality. They are going to the hellish planet. That is mercy of the Lord, because then they don't have to criticize the Lord. Or in the animal species where there is no possibility of criticizing the Lord. This is the sad plight of Mayavadis. We can see the example of Dr. Radhakrishnan. He was a president of India at one point. And Srila Prabhupada criticized him so heavily. He took him as the example. He took him as the representative of all Mayavadis of that time. And he was just smashing constantly. Right? Now, we had to understand the other side of a Vaishnava also. It was in Chennai, in Madras. Radhakrishnan was in his last stage of his life. And Srila Prabhupada happened to meet him. Okay, so he was lying down completely. He couldn't, kind of paralyzed. He couldn't move his body. He couldn't do anything. Then Srila Prabhupada actually saw him and he said, so unfortunate. Srila Prabhupada felt compassion for him. And he said, so unfortunate. This is the plight of people who deny and criticize and condemn the form of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada spoke this out of compassion. He was not speaking, you know, you chastise so much. But when he saw the plight of such a Mayavadi, Srila Prabhupada was very compassionate. And it's a great fortune of him that he could meet such a pure devotee, even though he may not be very conscious, but that's a great fortune. See? Now, as it is mentioned here, this transformation of the Lord and this energy, as it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, bhutva bhutva pralayate, the material manifestation, it is created and it is being destroyed, it's maintained for some time and it's being destroyed, and the cycle is going on. Such a long, long, long time. And at the same time, the Lord is not affected because He is always present in His internal potency. So that's why when the Lord appears, Ajobisan Aviyatma Bhutana Mishrobisan Prakritim Subhatishtaya Sambhavami Atma Maya. So the Lord, again, see the contradiction. Ajobisan Aviyatma, Ajobi. Krishna, one of the name of Krishna is Aja. He is unborn. But He is appearing in this world. Ajobisan Aviyatma Bhutana Mishrobisan, and He is Lord of all the living entities, but still He appears in this material world by His internal potency, by Atma Maya. So since He is present in His Atma Maya, when He is present in the material world, He is not affected by at all with this material energy. Because He is above that and He is the master, He is completely under the material energy is completely under the control of the Supreme Lord. Mama Maya Duratya. It's my energy. So why, how come if it is Krishna's energy, how can that energy control the Lord? It's not possible. It's impossible. So Srila Prabhupada denies that, refutes that completely. At the same time, the Lord is Saguna. The Lord is simultaneously Saguna and Nirguna. He is Saguna because He has got transcendental qualities. That too, unlimited transcendental qualities. In the 10th canto, Brahma Himself says, Gunatmanaste Gunan Vimatum. Gunatmanaste, it's very interesting. The Lord is addressed as Gunatma. Gunatma means one who possesses all the spiritual qualities. When you talk about compassion, who can have compassion? Only a conscious being can have compassion. Not a dead matter. It doesn't make any sense. When you talk about these kind of qualities, only a conscious entity can have these qualities. That's the reason Brahma very carefully uses the word Gunatma. To address Krishna. He's right in front of Krishna. It's after Brahma Vimohana Leela. So, Gunatma say Gunan Vimatam. How is it possible to count your unlimited transcendental qualities? At one point, a scientist could calculate all the atoms of this world, of the universe. Still, no one can calculate the unlimited qualities of the Supreme Lord. So, in that way, he is Saguna. At the same time, he is Nirguna. because he doesn't have any material qualities at all. So again, apparent contradiction which can be resolved by higher knowledge, higher bhakti knowledge. So that is, Srila Prabhupada is very wonderfully doing this. So that's where it comes to the point that everything, the understanding is dependent on bhakti. How can one possibly accept spiritual form? Actually, materialists don't have problem with material form. Yeah, there is a material form. And there are objects without material form also, right? We also accept there are formless things, right? Even materially, right? Air, for example, it doesn't have any form. So, formless, we are not against formlessness because the matter manifests both things. It can manifest in the form of a form, and it can be in the form of air or something like that which doesn't have a form. So we are not against form, or we are not against not having a form. However, when it comes to the spiritual form, it is completely beyond our thoughts. That's the reason Krishna's Rupa is Achintya Rupa. How can we conceive a spiritual form? If we think logically, how can we, spiritual form, we can say Sachidananda Vigraha, we can say it is eternal, it is blissful, it is full of knowledge, we can say all these words, but how can we really accept? Even theoretically we can say, okay, there has to be a spiritual form, logically, yes, fine, but how can we really develop a faith in it, and how can we serve that form, right? How can we do that? It is only starting from Shraddha. When we have the bhakti, only bhakti enable us to accept and accept to develop a relation with that spiritual form. It includes the deity form of the Lord. It includes the Nama Roop. So we can only, and even Bhagavat, how can we develop that attraction? And we do feel attracted to these kind of forms of the Lord, the spiritual forms. We do feel. It's a reality for a devotee. We can experience reciprocation. From Bhagavatam, we can experience reciprocation from the holy name. We can experience reciprocation from the deity form of the Lord. How is it possible? So it is a reality for a devotee because there is bhakti. Bhakti amama pichanati yavanaschami tattvatah. Bhakti aranya shakya aham evam vidhojana. Gyadam drashtam tattvena praveshtam cha parantapa. So many places in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, when this bhakti comes in, then we are opening to a completely different paradigm, to a different dimension. Where we are accepting, we can actually accept, we can perceive the spiritual form of the Lord. Because deity form is actually a spiritual form. Holy name is a spiritual form of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is a spiritual form. And we can experience. So that is the beauty, that is the, we can say, the mystery of bhakti. Without bhakti, it doesn't make any sense at all. I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I was thinking the absolute is formless. Brahman is the ultimate thing. I was convinced at one point that Brahman is the absolute. And when I came to this temple, I was thinking, yeah, these people, they are going to tell me that Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. They don't have to preach to me. After seeing the temple, I came to this conclusion that these devotees, they are going to tell me that Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. Because it's natural, because they are worshipping Krishna. They had to tell this. And on the same account, if I go to a Shiva temple, they will tell me the same thing, that Shiva is the Supreme Lord. So if I go to a Durga temple, they will also tell me the same thing. So I can understand their sentiments, you know. They are attached to a certain form and they are worshipping. Yes, I accept. So I couldn't accept. Then after some time devotees preached, I couldn't accept. You know, I read Bhagavad Gita. Then Bhagavad Gita was actually hitting me very hard. 7th chapter, you know, Krishna says very clearly. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mam abdhaya param bhavam ajanando mam avyam anuttamam. Krishna says avyaktam vyaktimapannam. When I was reading this, I was just like, first when I read this, I was a bit of a shock, you know. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mam abdhaya. Unintelligent people think that I never, you know, think that I never had a form, and now I have appeared in a particular form. I was thinking, oh, what is this? You know, is Krishna saying this? Actually, is this really Krishna saying? 1 month I read the same chapter. 1 month, again and again, same chapter. Then I came to the first conclusion. Sorry, I can't accept this, but I accept what these people are saying and what Krishna is saying is one and the same. That was my first conclusion. They are actually speaking, they are repeating what Krishna says. I accept that. But still, you know, I have difficulty in accepting. Then I was coming and I was having prasadam, taking darshan, and I was just going. So one day, I felt, you know, I should do some service. So I thought, you know, I'm eating, you know, every day, you know, every week I'm coming and eating here. I should really do some service. So I asked the devotee, can I do some service? So I started serving prasadam. Then I just started serving prasadam. In a matter of few days, I could really accept, yeah, that's right. Krishna has a spiritual form. You understand? So when we can accept theoretically, it's logical, right? So logic I could accept, but just with logic, one cannot have a transformation. So that transformation comes from service, because service means that's the development of bhakti. So service and bhakti are no different. So when there is seva, then naturally one is able to accept, okay, there is a spiritual form. So it's actually Krishna by his internal potency. This is bhakti shakti, it's the internal potency of the Lord. So the Lord is giving, okay, now you are struggling so many lifetimes with so many kinds of misconceptions. Now, okay, get rid of that and you accept me as the Supreme Lord. Accept my spiritual body. Krishna is awarding that. So we go through this thing, and again, still we have material misconception. Still we have doubt about the form of the Lord to a certain degree in different ways. That is, so we have to go beyond that by our sadhana, by our service. So when Krishna's mercy comes, there is transformation in the heart. And as we serve and as we see the reciprocation of the Lord, we go more and more. Just like now that we know our past, you know, maybe a few years back, how we were struggling in the material world, and now we know how much better we are situated in bhakti. If one can realize that day and night situation, then one can actually run fast in bhakti. Because one understands, okay, just a matter of few years, maybe 12 years, 15 years, whatever, I have, you know, my life is completely different. So it is just a short span of my life, I made such a difference. Then think about next 10 years, what can I do? Such a difference can I make in my life? So one can actually move forward, push forward. That actually gives us inspiration. So looking back in that way is very good. Not just lamenting. Okay, one can lament officially. That is, how much time have I wasted in this lifetime before coming to Krishna consciousness? That is an official, bona fide lamentation. No other lamentation. You know, there's no point lamenting about any other things. Just move forward in bhakti. So here, at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada presents a very beautiful example of Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami, he was a Brahmavadi. He was not a Mayavadi. He was a Brahmavadi. And he himself states in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, his kind of, you know, autobiographical verse, you know, Paridishtadopi Nairgunne Uttama Shloka Leelaya Grihita Cheta Rajashe Akhyatam Edat Adhidavan. He says, I was situated in Nairgunya. I was situated in Brahman realization. But I got attracted to Uttama Shloka Vartaya, which is Uttama Shloka Leelaya. I got attracted to Uttama Shloka, the pastimes of Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Lord who is glorified by chosen verses. So I got attracted. So Shukadeva Goswami presents that he was a Brahmavadi. He had no attraction for the Supreme Lord. But when he heard about the pastimes of the Lord, in fact, when he heard about the beauty of the Lord, as mentioned in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Barhavitam Nadavarupu, that verse, and when he heard about the mercy of the Lord, Ahobakiyam Sanakalakotam, when he heard these verses, his heart got transformed and he wanted to serve, he wanted to get association and shelter of that Supreme Lord. So he went back to his father, Vasudeva, and then he studied Srimad Bhagavatam, and he actually revived his original position. He's a great personality. He's the associate of the Lord. He's Mahatma and a Mahajan. So this is Shukadeva Goswami. Similarly, we have the example of Kumaras, right? Kumaras, they were Brahmavadis. They had no attraction for the Supreme Lord whatsoever. They were, everything is one. They were traveling everywhere, including the spiritual world, in the concept of oneness. However, when they smelled the fragrance of the lotus feet of the Lord mixed with Tulasi, then there was a transformation to their heart. So this is very wonderful. You know, they were telling, you know, what is the verse? Tasyaravinda nainasya padaravinda kinjalka mishra tulasi makaranda vayu andargada savivarena chakaratesham sakshobhanam aksharajushamabhi chittadannoho. When that fragrance reached the nostrils and when it actually entered the heart, then there was a transformation. So how is it possible that anything material could cause a transformation to such Brahmavadis who is completely liberated, who didn't have any material body. Matter cannot influence them. They are just the devotees, what to speak about the Supreme Lord. Even they had no problem with the material energy. And for them to have transformation, it has to be the spiritual energy. And that spiritual energy is the mercy of the Lord. It is coming through the smell of the Lord's feet of the Lord, mixed with his dear devotee, Tulasi Devi, that entered, and there was a transformation. Sankshobhanam. This verse is about transformation. Yes, they also had the transformation. Sankshobhanam. Akshara Jushamibi. Even though they are attached to Akshara, to the impersonal Brahman. Chitto Tannoho. For their Chitto. Chitta means the consciousness, and Tanno means their body. So they had a complete transformation because of the Bhakti Shakti. So again, a transformation, but nothing happens to the Lord. He is situated always in his own glory. So this is the transformation again. So beautiful example of Kumaras. Then in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is again a very wonderful example in the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When Gauranga Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, he was meeting his associates. So he had gone and he went to Brahmananda Bharati. If you remember right, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he met Brahmananda Bharati. So Brahmananda Bharati, as it is mentioned, from his childhood, he was meditating on impersonal Brahman. From his childhood. So when Mahaprabhu met Brahmananda Bharati, yes, Mahaprabhu criticized Brahmananda Bharati for wearing a deer skin. He said, this is not Brahmananda Bharati. Brahmananda Bharati never wears, you know, deer skin. That's not right. Vaishnava never wears deer skin because it involves some violence, you know. Just wear normal cloth. That was Mahaprabhu's principle. But Brahmananda Bharati, just by the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not by preaching, say Prakashananda Saraswati, there was a preaching. Our Sarvabhava Bhattacharya, there was a preaching by Mahaprabhu. But just by the presence of Mahaprabhu, there was a transformation in the consciousness of Brahmananda Bharati. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes a couple of verses, one from Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. Explaining, you know, kudapvanaste bhagavannu darshanat yannama I can't remember the first line. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The last line is interesting in this regard. Kudapvanaste bhagavannu darshanat. One can have transformation of life just by hearing the holy name of Krishna. Just hearing the qualities of Krishna, by hearing the pastimes of Krishna, just hearing. But now, kutapunaste, what to speak about Bhagavan Nudarshanad? Indeed, by his presence. What to speak about his presence? If Krishna is walking and coming right in front of you, then there has to be a transformation. That is the point of Bhagavatam. So, this is what happened to Brahmananda Bharati. Even though he was established in Brahman realization, just by the presence of Mahaprabhu, there was a transformation. And then Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami quotes this interesting verse by Billamangal Thakur. Advaita Pante Chavane Rupasita Swananda Simhasana Labdha Diksha Hathena Chenapi Vayam Hathena Dasi Krita Gopavadhu Vitena. It's a very interesting verse because it actually presents the apparent exalted position of the impersonal. He has been worshipped by all because he has taken shelter and he has taken Diksha in the Advaita philosophy. And he is performing Hatha Yoga. He's performing all this gymnastics and, you know, all this philosophical speculation. So because of all these things, everyone respects. So this is Brahmananda Bharati is telling. I have been respected by all because of my activities, knowledge and my diksha. But now, there is someone who has forcefully converted me into a gopi. Dasi Krita Gopavadhu Vitena. He's referring to Mahaprabhu as someone who always jokes with gopis. He has forcefully converted into a gopi. So this is he actually realized his original position, Brahmananda Bharati. Dasi Krita, so I am just a maid servant. Dasi Krita Gopavadhu Vitena. So this is the power of the Supreme Lord. He can transform the heart by his presence. And his devotees as well. So this is the kind of... So Srila Prabhupada makes a very important statement. If you analyze the scriptures, we can see so many examples where a Brahmavadi or an impersonalist being converted into a devotee. But you cannot say that, you know, a devotee suddenly being transformed into a Brahmavadi. That's not there because the devotees, especially the pure devotees, have the higher taste. So they don't need to they won't go through such kind of thing. Then I'll just mention about one more point, again about transformation. Okay, this verse is about transformation. One more point about transformation. The Lord also apparently goes through transformation. The Lord's pastime in the Bhauma Leela, we can see the Lord has three, you know, he has his Balya Leela, and he has his Pauganda Leela, and he has his Kaishora Leela, right? Kaumara, Pauganda, and Kaishora Leela. So if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, there also there are descriptions about change of Krishna's body. The absolute is being transformed. In the 8th chapter of the 10th canto, it is mentioned, Kalena Vrajadalpena Gokule Ramakeshavu Janubhyam Sahapanibhyam Ringamanu Vijahrutu. Kalena Vrajadalpena. As the time passed, you know, it looks like the Lord is under the influence of material time. Just like if you speak about a kid, you know, there's a kid, mother is constantly observing the kid. You can see, you know, the time is passing and the body of the child is changing, you know, growing up. In the same way, the Lord is manifesting the same pastime. Kalena Vrajadalpena, as the time passed, this is after killing of Potana, you know, then the Krishna was still, you know, he was not even crawling, he was just lying helplessly. This is pastime of the Lord, which is untinged by the material energy. And now, as the time passed, Janubhyam Sahapanibhyam Ringamana Vijahatu, now he started performing his pastime using his knee and his hands. What does that mean? He started crawling. So Krishna is now crawling. So just as the time passed. Then the crawling pastimes are mentioned in 4 verses. And then it concludes. Now again time passed. Now the crawling pastimes are over. He is now just running around. So Bhagavatam very beautifully presents how the Lord is influenced by the time, apparently. So how is it possible to have such transformation for the transcendental body of the Lord, which is the Swarup, which is not at all subjected to any kind of transformations? So again, our philosophy explains very beautifully. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this wonderful example to explain this kind of transformation. He gives the example of a torch which is attached to a string. If you just rotate that string, you can see that the light is everywhere. It is a circle, it forms a complete circle, and you can see light everywhere just because of rotation. He says the Lord's pastimes are like that. So he says, in this universe, the Lord may be in this crawling pastime. In the next universe, he may be in the next level. So if you consider the practically unlimited number of universes, the Lord is present in his entire feature everywhere all the time. So in that way, his form is eternal. Second explanation is that, or second way of looking at it is that, even his Balya form, it is also eternal. It can be manifested or it can be unmanifested. But it's an eternal form. So the Lord Swarup, all the stages of the Lord's birth till his departure, he doesn't grow after a certain age, but all these forms are his Swarup. So what is Krishna Swarup? Everything is Krishna Swarup. Everything is eternal. So this is again the inconceivable nature of the Lord's form, which is being apparently transformed. So this transformation is also above the tinge of material energy, and it is above the modes of material nature. So I leave it here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, bro.